We turn together in the Word of God to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. And we'll stand together for the reading of the Word. This is a psalm where David is reflecting on God's remarkable saving faithfulness in rescue from so many enemies, and especially Saul. He's exalting God as Savior. He's doing so as a warrior king, and he's reflecting on the goodness and faithfulness of God. We'll pick up at verse 28, and read through verse 36. You get a sense of this, and I want to particularly point your attention to the last phrase of verse 35 as we read. For you will light my lamp, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, by my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect, the word of God is proven, he is a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip. And then to Galatians chapter 5. Beginning at verse 22, and we'll read to the end of the chapter. Our focus is today that word gentleness. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. This is the Word of the living God. We turn in the Word of God to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 to continue the study of that great theme of the fruit of the Spirit, which can also be called the character of the Christian, the multifaceted diamond that is the character of the Christian by the power, the renovating and changing power of the Holy Spirit of God. Gentleness is what we will focus on this morning, and then, Lord willing, next week, self-control. In 1980, and for the years before that, actually, in Washington State, the wilderness around Mount St. Helens was known for a place of peace and beauty, where people had vacation cabins and hiked and enjoyed the outdoors, backpacked, and loved to enjoy what would have been a little place of peace and beauty. If you know anything about me and our family, you know that I love those places, and going to those places, those beautiful wild places where the rush and busyness of this world seems to fade away for a moment, and there's still so much yet, even in a fallen world, visible of the magnificent glory of God. But in that same year, that mountain, Mount St. Helens, exploded with a kind of violence and fury that scientists knew that there was something happening, but there were a lot of people who were even taken off guard at exactly what happened. As half, as it were, of the entire mountain exploded, it didn't just slowly erupt. The mountain itself exploded with fire and fury and power. and destroyed a huge part of the landscape, and what was peaceful and quiet became explosive and destructive in a moment. I have known people like this, maybe you have, where maybe you never know quite when you're going to cross that line, but when you cross that line, you are absolutely sure that you have. Because what do? They explode. And everything that was once beautiful and peaceful is no longer so. And even as I say those words, and maybe as I say those words, you might be thinking, I don't only know people like that, but I'm ashamed to say that far too often I'm that person. The root of this is the flesh. The flesh which lusts against the Spirit. Outbursts of wrath, envy, selfish ambition, fighting, these are fleshly, satanic realities that have no place in the life of the believer. They destroy relationships. They make people want to run out of those relationships like you and I would want to run out of a burning building. Doesn't give warrant to run out of them, but it's what we feel like we want to do. Again, I said, it's one thing to be able to spot this tendency in others, but how about this tendency in you and in me? And then another question, would there be any hope that this could change? That this could be new? It's hard to admit your own weakness. Maybe harder yet to admit that you've actually done this, you've been angry like this. But it's also hard to put on that virtue which the Scriptures call gentleness. It's the opposite of this. Gentleness, something beautiful. And the Word of God here, in the little phrase, the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, listen carefully, promises that God will make this change in His people. From one thing, ugly, bitter, and destructive, to another, beautiful, peaceful, and tending to the good of others. What is gentleness? We have a word here in the text. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. Comes from a Greek word family. It includes the word prates. It means pleasant, mild, soothing. This kind of gentleness is linked closely to friendliness and humility. The corresponding Old Testament words mean lowly and humble. Just as a servant would submit to his master. In the Old Testament, actually, the same word, and the connection we often make between the Old and New Testament, the Old Testament Hebrew and the New Testament Greek, is in a translation of the Old Testament called the Septuagint, which translates Hebrew into Greek. And we often ask ourselves, how would a contemporary of a New Testament writer, what word would they use to translate the Old Testament equivalent gentleness? And that's how we make the link between the two. Now, in the Old Testament, this gentleness also has the idea of submission to God. That its root, the bottom of it, is that whatever God is doing in my life, I am not pushing against Him, but I'm receiving it quietly with a peaceful heart, trusting Him. It's also used in the New Testament. Blessed are the meek, same word, for they shall inherit the earth. Or, in the triumphal entry of our Lord Jesus Christ, quoting from the prophet Zechariah, our Savior came as one who was meek and lowly, riding on a colt, the foal of a donkey. His character, the character of Christ, is described with this same word family. Meek and gentle. The Apostle Paul uses it regularly. He uses it in his writings to the Corinthians. He asks them in 1 Corinthians 4, shall I come to... The question, does he want them to come does the Corinthian church want Paul to come with a spirit of gentleness or a spirit of firm rebuke? He also says that a steward or a minister of the gospel should be gentle and have this same spirit in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 1. Stewards should be gentle. In Galatians chapter 6, he'll use it again, the same idea. Chapter 6 and verse 1, if a man is taken in any trespass, you are spiritual. Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. There's a gentleness that Paul presses. He uses the same language in Ephesians chapter 4 to describe the character of the believer. We are to be walking worthy of the calling with which we were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering. And here's a phrase that often goes together with gentleness, bearing with one another in love. This gives us another clue to this word. This gentleness is not only friendly, soothing, pleasant, and mild, but it's not provocable. This person who's gentle cannot be provoked, bears with one another in love. And that's in the context here. Look at verse 15 of Galatians chapter 5. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. And then verse 26 on the other end of this section, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Instead, the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. Paul uses it in Colossians 3 and verse 12, commending this again as a virtue of the believer. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 25, the minister of the gospel is to be gentle. Titus, the same thing. Titus 3 and verse 2. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, the same thing again. When we give a reason for the hope that is in us, we do it with gentleness or with meekness and fear. Used all throughout the New Testament, rooted in the Old Testament. A virtue of those who belong to the Lord. Gentleness. It's related to another word that Paul uses in the letter to the Philippians when he says, let your gentleness or your reasonableness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 1, Paul actually piles up terms for gentleness when he says a steward should be meek and gentle. He does that and he connects the Philippians word and the Galatians word together to give added force to this idea of this meek and mild and restrained character. The ancients understood this idea as well. As a matter of fact, they discussed this word at length as a virtue worth emulating. Now, the ancients were looking at it in the wrong way. We know it's a fruit of the Spirit, but that gives us a little more sense of meaning. Unrestrained anger, which even the unbeliever understands to destroy and tear down. And on the other hand, there was apathy. There was no movement of the heart at all. The reasonable man was a man who was gentle. And here we get the sense that it's also linked to self-control, the next aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness is also then, if you're getting a sense of the word, is linked to strength and self-control. What do I mean by that? Let me give you an illustration. Years ago, I look back through news stories. I remember seeing a story years ago of a child who fell into a gorilla enclosure at a zoo. Fell over the barrier. Every now and then I've been to the zoo and with little kids, and I'm like, a three-year-old just pull their hands up on this bar and fall over into that moat. It's terrifying. Happened. And all of a sudden you have a little child in the confines of this cage with these giant, powerful creatures that could just tear it limb from limb. And what happened was very interesting. In one instance, in 1996, this happened. The silverback gorilla came and picked up the little baby and held it. And you think, that's astonishing. Why do you think that's astonishing? Because you know that the creature had the capacity to destroy, but instead restrained that strength and did something else. And that has some of the sense of this gentleness. Instead of being provoked with our capacity, with our words, or if we have authority, our authority, or if we have natural strength, our natural strength, that we refuse to tap into that, but instead with grace and pleasantness, we respond. Humble, self-controlled use of natural strength, together with a steady calmness of heart and demeanor, captures the sense of this word gentleness. Now, the opposite, I said it earlier in the introduction, the opposite's obviously anger. The key word that the opposite perhaps is in verse 20 is thumoi, outbursts of wrath, that explosive anger. This gentleness, chapter 6 and verse 1, is the opposite. When somebody sins, perhaps even against you, you in a spirit of gentleness seek to win back your brother. That's the context here. Without arrogance, impatience, or anger. The opposite of this is fury, wrath, anger, rage, explosive violence, screaming, foul language. I have learned over the years as a minister of the gospel that people who profess the name of Christ in moments of anger can use terrible language against each other in their homes. Terrible language. Gentleness is incompatible with this. That's anger. That's the works of the flesh. That is not the work of the Spirit. It's unrighteous. Why does it happen? Because someone took your money, your rights, your reputation, your pleasure, your ease, something from you. They maligned you. And you become the most important person at this point in the whole universe, and you explode. That's the opposite. For the Christian, Proverbs 15 and 1, a soft answer turns away wrath. Calvin says about this gentleness is that it's a gentleness of mind. It disposes us to take everything in the best possible way, never to be easily offended. Or Luther, Christians must not be sharp and bitter, but gentle, mild, courteous, and fair-spoken, so as to make others delight in their company. And then he says, such also was Christ. Some counterfeits. Quiet bitterness. You are not being gentle in heart if you have a cauldron, if you are like Mount St. Helens just before explosion, and you're just working to keep that down. Now, it is good to fight against the flesh, but that's the flesh rearing up. If you nurse that hidden secret bitterness of heart, outwardly pleasant, inwardly seething, it's a dangerous condition, and that's not what the fruit of the Spirit is. The fruit of the Spirit of gentleness is a deep inward disposition. We'll get more to that later. It's also not indifference. You know those kind of people, it doesn't matter what happens, you know, they're just still on the lazy boy watching the same channel. Doesn't matter. It's not indifference to wrongs. It's not just keeping quiet and being bitter in heart. It is rather the humble restraint of our natural strength, even when provoked or wronged. And ultimately, it is rooted in the submission of our will to the will of God in everything. It's learning to wait on Him. We don't yell uncontrollably in anger. We use quiet commands. We, God forbid, engage in physical violence in our homes and families and relationships. Instead, we have a soft touch. We use our voice, our bearing, our vocabulary in restraint. A soft answer turns away wrath. If you're gentle, you're making evaluations in every situation and relationship. Let me give you three things that you would evaluate. First, the situation. Now, obviously, you could have one that's an emergency. If there is this week, both of our Labrador retrievers got into our chicken coop, and one of them into the chicken house. And they were not just retrieving chickens. They were looking for dinner, apparently. And all of our chickens lived, just so you know. But it's an emergency situation, and I probably used louder voice than I should have, but we need to save those chickens and get those dogs out of there. There's sometimes when you have an emergency. These things are rare in life. And we like to think everything's an emergency. We evaluate the situation. If there's imminent danger, you might scoop up your child and run without thinking about much anything else. Explain later. This almost never happens. We like to think everything's an emergency. No, most of the time things can wait. And our intensity and urgency needs to be mortified. We evaluate the situation. Then we think about the people we're dealing with. We have a new little baby at home. Her name is Miriam. She's not 3 weeks old today. And I've been doing something again just a few times. Do you ever take a brand new baby's hand and pull it through a sleeve? Those tiny little fingers. And you don't want one to get caught because they're so tender. And you know that if you did, you could hurt them badly. And so there's this careful little work of pulling that tiny little beautiful hand through. Why? Because you've evaluated who that person is. You're accommodating yourself to their needs. And you will act accordingly. As a Christian, we're to be thinking about the needs of others, the condition of others, estimating their strengths and their weaknesses, their physical, emotional, spiritual abilities. Learn how to gauge those things with thoughtfulness. And you are to be a critical student of those around you. I don't mean a critical heart. I mean a careful eye. And you are to bear with those who are weak. Third thing, you evaluate yourself. What words am I using? What tone am I using? What's my body language? Am I willing to moderate myself in order to serve another and show them grace and patience? The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. Pray to God, Lord, make me a gentle Christian. And you're probably thinking about the rest of the fruit of the Spirit. It's inextricably connected to love and kindness and joy and self-control. What is the source and pattern then for this true gentleness? Where does it come from? Here's a question. Ask the question, what is it? I'm asking a second question. What is the source, pattern, and power for this virtue? Where does it come from? What power animates it? Here's a question. If gentleness involves humility and the restraint of our natural power and even the careful use of our authority, our office, our place, and especially so in the pursuit of the good of others, not to be provoked, but gracious. Where might that come from? That's the if this is what it is. How about the then? It comes from our Lord Jesus Christ, who himself is meekness and gentleness personified. I want to go through some texts here. Charles Spurgeon remarked that there is one place in the four Gospels, and only one place, where our Savior Jesus tells us about his heart. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You hear that little description? This is our Savior Jesus giving you a window into his heart, who he is, his character. He's telling you what he's like. Philippians 2 would be another place that we could go to get a window into the heart of our Savior Jesus Christ, beginning at Verse 9, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How did he think? How did he feel? Who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. This is the character of Christ. Humble, gentle, lowly. What did he do on the cross? When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. But he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What kind of authority did he have while he was on the cross? He could have destroyed them with a word. One word. This is why there is a thing called salvation. Because our Savior Jesus is gentle and lowly in heart. This is why he voluntarily condescended in the covenant of grace. This is why he humbly accepted his suffering. This is why he was and still is, and listen to that, still is. To use the words of the prophet Isaiah, another description of the character of Christ. Behold my servant, whom I uphold. It's one of the servant songs, Isaiah 42. My elect one in whom my soul delights. Listen carefully. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. And then this little phrase, a bruised reed he will not break. A smoking flax he will not quench. Weakness he will not crush. Why? Because he's gentle and lowly in heart. And in him you find rest for your souls. What's your natural tendency? Do you ever ask the question, what is God really like? What is he really like? How could I know what God is like? What is our answer to that? It's often to imagine something. What's that called? Making an idol. Instead, just think of his name. I am who I am. He is not who we think him to be. He's the eternal, self-existent one. He is who he is, and he reveals himself in his word. He tells us what he is like. And yes, he says he's high and holy and lifted up. But Christ says that his heart is gentle and lowly. Thomas Watson, reflecting on this, said this, men are apt to have contrary conceits of Christ. They are apt to think of him in the wrong way. But he tells us his disposition here, preventing our hard thoughts in order to allure us to him more. We tend to think that he, being so holy and powerful, would have a severe and sour disposition towards sinners. That he would not bear them. That he wouldn't want anything to do with sinners. No, says he, I am meek. Gentleness is my nature and temper. Come to me. David, you have given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. In the coming and cross work of Jesus Christ, we have the embodiment of the gentle mercy of God for sinners. If you ask what is God like, you look at the cross. You think about Jesus carrying his cross to Golgotha. You think about him being nailed to the cross. You think about him willingly giving his life on the cross. And you could put this banner over the cross. Come to me. I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls. Then the gift of the Spirit, Pentecost, poured out on the church. And then the fruit of the Spirit, which is gentleness, which is that is God's design, that which is beautiful and gracious and drew you to Jesus Christ, he would form in you by the same Spirit, so that you would never break a bruised reed or quench your smoking flax. That's what Christ is like. The fruit of the Spirit is to work that grace in us. Remember how important this characteristic is to kingdom life. If you exhibit thumoi, which is outbursts of anger, that destructive anger like fire that flows from you, what does Paul say? No inheritance of the kingdom of God. The meek, or the gentle, shall inherit the earth. What is the work of the Holy Spirit? By the virtue of Christ's powerful death and resurrection. Romans 6, we united to Him by faith, died with Him, and are alive with Him to righteousness, a new kind of life. This happens by the power of the Holy Spirit. He cleanses us and He makes us alive. And He works this fruit in us. This gets us all the way back to chapter 4 and verse 19, where Paul says, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. The Spirit is not useless, weak, inept. He's the third person of the Trinity, and the Word says the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. He forms us after the pattern of Christ. I am the vine, Jesus said. You are the branches. He who abides in me bears much fruit. How about the pursuit or the expression of this gentleness? I want to ask you some questions. Are you a gentle person? As I ask that question, there's so many regrets I have in my own heart. Surely you have your own. When you're provoked, what do? Is there a meekness or is there anger? Are holy words or do you curse? Are you kind or are you threatening? Are you like Christ who when He was reviled in meekness did not revile in return? Peter says this, finally, all of you, be of one mind, have compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, don't return evil for evil, reviling for a reviling, on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this. Gentleness. Would your family say you're gentle? Listen carefully. Because the Word of God says something very profound in this section here. Works of the flesh not inherit the kingdom, the meek shall inherit the earth. It says that this is a mark of the true believer. That if it's absent, if there's no gentleness in your heart, I didn't say perfect gentleness, if there's no gentleness in your heart, you know what that means? No spirit. No spirit, no life. It's that simple. The Spirit cannot enter into a human heart and do nothing. He can't. He will not. If you can't answer the question, I'm a gentle person, then you repent and you turn from your wicked ways. If you see something of God's grace, you give thanks and you still repent and give thanks for God's grace. No gentleness means no likeness to Christ, which means no spirit. Or you're in a dangerous period, what the Apostle Paul would call quenching or grieving the Spirit. And sometimes people tell me, Peter, I just witnessed all these people and I have so much zeal and I have so much excitement for the kingdom and I'm doing all these important things. No gentleness, no Christ-likeness, no spirit. That's how it works. In the lack of the fruit of the Spirit means that you might well be lost in sins and trespasses. A stony ground hearer. Those who are forgiven much, love much, Jesus said. It's the inevitable echo of the human heart. This also means, encouragingly, that for the Christian, the pursuit of gentleness, hear this carefully, for the Christian, is the pursuit of something that's already there. What I mean is, it's the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit's in your heart. You have the fountain, source, and power for Christ-like gentleness within you. And the one who began a good work will be faithful to bring it to completion And this is why if you go to Paul using that related word for gentleness in Philippians chapter 4, when he says, let your gentleness be known to all men, the Lord is at hand. He's not saying there, be gentle. He's actually saying something very interesting. He's saying the gentleness that belongs to the believer, let it abound and let it be a mark that everybody can see. The pursuit of holiness here is walking in the Spirit. He's saying what you already possess should make obvious to every person you know that something supernaturally different exists within you. There's a unnatural gentleness, a new kind of character. The command in Philippians 4:19 is actually let it be known. Let it be consistent and public. Use every encounter that you have, Paul is saying to the Philippians, to make it known that the Spirit of God is at work in you. So don't miss any encounters when your children frustrate you. On a busy morning, Lord, the fruit of your Spirit is gentleness. Give me grace to show that fruit to my children. Forgive me for all the times that I have failed. Not your spouse. How about the word? Husbands, love your wives. Do not be harsh with them, Paul says to the Colossians. Wives, love your husbands, Peter says, with incorruptible beauty of quiet and gentle spirit. It's the same word. Children, your little brothers and sisters. Every now and then I walk outside after church and I've seen two siblings at war with each other. There should never, ever be the mistreatment, especially mistreatment, you older siblings, of someone younger. You're to use that strength and knowledge kindly, like Christ has been kind to you. The forgiveness of sins. He's never treated you that way. He's never, ever been harsh to you. And you are like, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, here's the amazing thing the gospel says, you're like a little brother or sister of the King of Kings. Doesn't matter where you are, if it's a gate agent, you're trying to catch your flight, if you're driving down Wade Hampton, you're angry with other drivers, these sins need to be rooted out. And instead, the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. Pursue it, seek to express it, live by it. Another category, maybe you have responsibilities for leadership. It's here especially that we need the Spirit's help. Matthew Henry says, such a sweetness of temper should be especially shown to our inferiors. And he's using an old word here that doesn't mean inferior in worth or value, but he's talking about those who are under our charge. So if you're a parent, if you're an elder, if you're a husband, it does work to talk and yell. Bullies can win outwardly, but the wrath of God will not produce the righteousness of men. Husbands, love your wives. Do not be harsh with them, Colossians 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Pastors, 1 Timothy 3:3, and elders, blameless, not violent, but gentle. The greater your authority, the greater your obligation, Matthew Henry would say, to show forth his virtue to God's glory. And then for the witness of the whole church, the peace of the church. Look at verse 15. They were biting and devouring one another. Verse 26 again, they were conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Gentleness brings peace. Anger brings and perpetuates war. The parable of the unforgiving servant. Do you remember what happened? Forgiven an insurmountable, impossibly large debt by the gracious king of the realm. Walks down the street from this encounter, sees someone who owes a little bit. And Jesus said, hands around the throat, choking the life out of him. To whom much has been given, much is required. You've been given much in Jesus Christ. Paul knew that the witness of a harsh people would not be a witness to the heart of Christ. to be the witness of a gentle people. Instead, let all around you know that you belong to Christ. Pray for the fruit of the Spirit, which is gentleness. People should be asking you this question. How can you do that? This is not normal. You were provoked. A soft answer came. Where did that come from? And you could say, a gentle and lowly Savior named Jesus called me to come to Him. And He promised to give me rest. He said that His yoke, what it means to follow Him, to be His servant, His yoke was easy and His burden was light. And He gave me rest for my soul. And as I received that mercy, He changed the way that I look at everything else. This is the fruit of the Spirit, which is gentleness. I learned from Him. In mercy, He forgave me. And then He gave me His Spirit. It's not from me. It's from Him. This makes me think of Paul in Galatians 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave Himself for me. Let's pray. Lord our God, we think of all the times that our angry hearts and violent tempers and unrestrained tongue violated the plain precepts and principles of Your holy word. We've been easily provoked. We've been sharp and unkind, selfish. And if we haven't done it outwardly, we've long nursed inward bitternesses, sometimes towards others and sometimes towards You. We thank You for our Savior who came to us gentle and lowly, who reveals Your holy character towards sinners, Your patient love and mercy. We think of Him who on the cross with unbounded power that belonged to Him as the God-man, when He was reviled, did not revile in return, but offered Himself up once a sacrifice for sins. We pray, O God, that an echo of that gentle mercy, that restrained power, that humble submission to Your holy will would more and more mark our Christian lives, that we would bring forth with joy the fruit of Your Spirit, which is promised to those who believe in Jesus Christ. So help us by Your word and Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.